is to the man. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a moment, we'll get to talk with Marilyn Musgrave, longtime pro-life Colorado leader, legislator from the State House to Washington, D.C. But first, a promo for a new show tonight on the Fox News Channel. Bill O'Reilly, the O'Reilly Factor, they will have a segment in which they'll have Ann Coulter on. And Ann Coulter will be discussing a video produced by Steve Curtis, the former chairman of the Colorado State Republican Party, and Brian Rohrbaugh, the president of American Right to Life. This will be tonight, and they produced a video about Ann Coulter, and Ann will be on talking about their video, which, by the way, you can see at AmericanRightToLife.org. AmericanRightToLife.org, they put it on YouTube about 10 days ago, and it's got 30,000 views. And, in fact, U.S. News and World Report contacted American Right to Life asking for permission to embed that video on Coulter on their website, usnews.com. So look forward to that. But tonight on Fox News, the O'Reilly Factor, a segment with Ann Coulter responding to the video produced by Steve Curtis and Brian Rohrbaugh from American Right to Life. Okay, so that should be fun. Now, let's go to the phones, the VIP line. And Marilyn Musgrave, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thank you, Bob. Good to be on your program today.
Marilyn, you're very welcome. It's great to have you on, and I'm looking forward to talking about your work with the Susan B. Anthony and Votes Have Consequences project. But first, you're a pro-lifer. I think I've heard you have a pretty good number of children yourself, right? You have four kids, is it?
I have four children. My husband and I are blessed with four kids, and we have our 10th grandbaby on the way. So, hey, we're doing good.
10th grandchild. All right. Now, my wife and I have to catch up. We only have two grandkids so far. But we've got seven boys, so hopefully we'll be able to catch you.
Oh, wow.
So, Marilyn, you were, I believe, if we go way back, I think you were a state representative and then a state senator. Is that right?
Yes, and actually before I was ever a state representative, I was the president of our local chapter of Right to Life. So I was one of those fortunate people, even though I had been an activist and very openly pro-life, still elected to public office.
Being courageous, like Ronald Reagan, his public position, he was very courageous against child killing. And obviously he won in massive landslides.
Yes, he did. And I followed in the footsteps, really, I believe, in Colorado of Pat Miller, a dear friend of mine who was elected to the state legislature and a very openly pro-life. And, I try to indicate to people out there, especially with my new role for Susan B. Anthony, hello, folks. It's a political advantage to be pro-life.
Well, I remember
we can give courage to some of those folks.
Yeah, now this goes way back, but I remember at the time when Ronald Reagan won his reelection, landslide, what did he carry, 49 states, I think. The exit polls showed that abortion was the number one issue for any single issue, and Ronald Reagan won those voting on abortion by two digits.
Incredible.
So, and since then, there has been an effort to get people to shy away from protecting unborn children as though that's not a winning issue. So,
when I was elected to the State House, I was given advice, and I really believe with good intentions now, don't be carrying any pro-life legislation, because every time you read about yourself in an article, you're going to be cast as that pro-life or anti-abortion person. And I sat there and I listened to that advice, and I looked across the massive desk at the individual that was giving me that advice, and I said, the pro-life people are the ones that put me here. And I kept that before me. And, you know, having all these years later been in Congress for three terms and worked with so many people, you know, you get calls when you're a member of Congress for someone to help you with a bureaucrat that's jerking them around with the IRS or the Veterans Administration or something. They're desperate for help. And you know what I've always thought, Bob? If an office holder does not care about the most vulnerable among us, why in the world would we think they would care about other people?
Yeah. What a good point. And it depends on your moment in history. Like when William Wilberforce was fighting to end slavery heroically in Great Britain, he changed the entire world. This sold-out Christian minister sold to the gospel, and the whole world came to abhor slavery because of him. Imagine someone coming to him and saying, "Now, Wilbur, don't introduce any legislation against slavery because it'll really ruin your reputation."
It'll ruin your political career.
Yeah. And Marilyn, I think you were being very gracious not naming Bruce Benz. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't really know who it was.
Actually, it wasn't Bruce.
Okay. But we've had the same kinds of conversations with Bruce Benson back when he was the chairman of the Colorado Republican Party. And that was his position. And sadly, many in the power base nationally and locally have basically been tolerant of abortion, and so hopefully that'll change. Let me ask you, it was a Fort Morgan Right to Life chapter, wasn't it, that you headed up?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so thank you for your many years of service. Marilyn Musgrave, what does it mean to be pro-life, and why are you pro-life?
Well, it says a great deal about your worldview, and Bob, I can look back on my time in college and remember the emerging feminism, you know, about what it meant to be a woman and how we were to, exert our power and to get away from, you know, having to do what a man or your husband wanted you to do and raising children and all those things, get away from that traditional role for a woman. And I look at all the lies in that movement.
It's ruined so many lives.
It's ruined lives.
Yeah. And it was basically, man envy, Marilyn. It's like feminists who told millions of women, unless you act like a man, unless you come across as a man, you don't have any self-worth. And it's the opposite of what the feminists should have been attempting if they really cared for the welfare of women.
You know, and the thing about it, Bob, I've always been pro-life and I've always been pro-woman and trying to help women. And in the way we were created by God, we were created as nurturers. We have so many young women that have moved away from that role. And I know, especially while I was in Congress, when I got to talk to Hill staffers and stuff, I talked to them about stages in their life. You know, yes, you want to work on the Hill. You know, what an incredible opportunity in your life. You want to get married. You want to have children. You know, you want to do all these things. Just remember that there are stages. And, you know, when I first ran for political office, the youngest of our four children was 14 years old, so I had devoted much of my life to raising our children, and I don't regret that for a minute. It all goes by so quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, being pro-life, realizing that it is a gift from God, and the value and the worth of each of these children, unborn children, and you just think of the immeasurable harm that has been done to our country by abortion, by abortion on demand. It is very sobering. When I was a legislator, on a Friday, I went to the Brown Palace for a Colorado Press Association luncheon. Mm-hmm. This was many years ago. The featured speaker was Dick Lamb, former governor of Colorado, and he brought his father, who was rather elderly, to the luncheon, which I had to wonder what father thought about the infamous
the duty to die. This is duty to die, Lamb. And when you get old, get out of the way. You got a duty to die.
And there's dad, you know, right there.
That implied for your dad and my dad, but not for his dad.
And Dick Lamb got up to speak, and we legislators would always go with various groups from the Capitol over there. And I happened to be sitting at the table with hospital administrators from my House District 65. So here are these hospital administrators. We're sitting there, and we're listening to Dick Lamb talk about how this country can't afford Medicare and Social Security, and how the burden of paying for health care for the elderly was just going to ruin this country. And I looked at those guys, and usually this is a luncheon where you just kind of show up and, you know, do your thing and then head on out. But I looked at those guys, and as a solid pro-lifer, it just was so profound to me. It hit me so hard. I said, are you listening to what he's saying? In 1968, this same man carried the most liberal abortion law in the country and made Colorado an abortion mecca. And now he's saying, we can't fund these programs. Well, despite what you think of those programs, hello, if there are more workers in the workforce, there's going to be more money for these entitlements.
Yeah, that's true. That's an economic argument, Marilyn, against killing unborn children, and it's a valid argument. Look at Europe. They have decimated their population. So Europe is in a post-Christian, post-European phase where Muslims easily could outnumber Europeans over the next few decades. And so the Christian, Judeo-Christian worldview is in danger. It's an endangered species because of the fight, the war against children and marriage, literally a jihad against children, killing unborn children and opposing marriage. And so that also Japan is going to have a very hard time sustaining their elderly population. And here in America, although we're not as bad off as those places in the world yet, but we're headed there. Now, Marilyn Musgrave, could I ask you about Susan B. Anthony, their new initiative, Votes Have Consequences? Tell us about that effort and your role.
Well, first of all, I heard about Susan B. Anthony when I first ran for the Senate in Colorado. Didn't know much about this organization, but started reading about Susan B. Anthony List, and I really liked him. And I'd be remiss here if I didn't contrast Emily's List. Emily, standing for Early Money Is Like Yeast.
Right. This is a parallel to that pro-abortion effort.
Yes. Then they support pro-abortion candidates. Well, here we are now with Susan B. Anthony List. What a godsend to have a counter for Emily's List supporting pro-life women who are running for office. And they do men on occasion, too. But I am now the project director of Votes Have Consequences. You know, Bob, when we look at the 2008 election, it was a very poor political environment for people like me that were running for Congress. There was really a rampant media bias towards pro-abortion candidates, and we saw that especially in the presidential race. And then it seemed like the left had just a preponderance of resources at their disposal.
Yeah, a lot of money, too.
All kinds of money, more right. money than they could spend. In fact, in my own personal race, they started attack ads against me on TV in May of the off year. And, I mean, groups rose up. I know another pro-life woman that was taken out was Senator Elizabeth Dole. There were groups that rose up to, quote-unquote, educate the public about her, the Alliance for Health. Another one of my friends in Congress is Michelle Bachmann. What a hero Congressman Bachmann is. And she had a group that rose up against her called Minnesota Alliance with Youth. And then another one, these altruistic...
They're front groups for the abortion industry.
Yeah, and they're 501c4s. They're educational. Well, what we're going to do with Votes Have Consequences is we're going to take a page from the left's playbook. We, Susan B. Anthony List, is going to go into districts where the person in office is out of sync with their district. I don't care who you are. Nobody likes hypocrisy. When you got someone who's talking one way at home and voting another way in D.C., it becomes very offensive to people. So we're going to target districts around the nation in the coming election cycle, and we're going to educate the public on what their member of Congress or their senator is really doing, the votes they are casting. Now, this is going to be hard because, as you said and I said, the left has had money
right.
to spend on these things. And these things, a lot of people, maybe your listeners, they've never heard the term robocall, but I bet they've gotten one.
Yeah, automated computerized calls to voters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they use robocalls. They run attack ads on the radio, direct mail pieces. They've even had street theater where there's the infamous Marilyn Musgrave lookalike. I evidently have pretty distinctive hair because that's what always
right.
comes. They always add a little pounds to my my image, too. But at any rate, we're going to base our education effort on truth, which will distinguish us from what the left did in the past election cycles. Because of our respect for truth, we will use that, but we will do everything we can to let the people in these districts know what their member of Congress is really doing.
Well,
so I'm excited, and who better than Marilyn Musgrave? I mean, I am poster child for the
pro-life fight here in Colorado. So,
yes, and I've had a huge target on me because I dared to sponsor the marriage amendment in Congress, so I attracted some very wealthy people who put a big target on me. It took them four times
right.
to get me, but they finally did.
So, Marilyn, now when we look at the battle anew, look at the battlefield like we're starting over. Because Dr. Dobson, 2 weeks ago, he was speaking as he's stepping down as chairman of Focus on the Family, and he said, we have the audio of his speech here, he said, we are awash in evil, and humanly speaking, the battles we fought to defend marriage and protect the unborn child, we can say that we have lost all those battles. And he talked about this being a very dangerous period in history, and you know, it is a good point. Like Antonin Scalia, who for decades he's been considered maybe the most significant victory of the pro-life movement. In the last 2 years, he's gone everywhere he could go saying that he would strike down any law that banned abortion in all 50 states and that our federal law, the Constitution, doesn't protect the unborn. So it's like we have a crisis. The judges that we, pro-life, conservative, Republicans, Christians, the judges we put in office, they don't seem to be pro-life. In fact, 60% of the federal judiciary has been nominated by Republican presidents, and that's almost all Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George W. Bush. And Marilyn, how would you characterize the federal judiciary? It seems to us that it's overwhelmingly pro-abortion.
Well, it is overwhelmingly pro-abortion, and I, like you and many others, have just been heartsick over some of these appointments that have been made by presidents, Republican presidents. And I will say, though, that there's always the issue of numbers in the Senate and confirmation. You know, I had the privilege of having Judge Bork and his wife in my congressional office that came to testify in the Judiciary Committee about the marriage amendment. And I just can't tell you what it meant to me to sit down and talk with that man and realize what he had gone through.
Well, yeah, when he was Borked, it was horrendous. Similar to Clarence Thomas's
yes.
Lynching, if we could call it that. But I read Robert Bork's book, Slouching Toward Gomorrah.
Yes.
And in his book, he states that when he was nominated to the Supreme Court, he was pro-abortion. He was pro-abortion, and it wasn't until after he was Borked that he reevaluated the issue. And he said, all I had to do was really think about it. And as soon as I thought about it, I realized the unborn child is a person, and I became pro-life.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it refreshing when you have honesty like that? I mean, that's incredible that he would put that in his book. And he is very pro-life, and he supports pro-life issues in many, many ways, as does his wife. So I appreciate him. But my point is, it's a messy process going through these confirmations, and you bet some of the Republican presidents have disappointed us greatly.
Well,
but I do know, I do know when I cast a vote for president, and in the back of my mind, that is always first and foremost, as it is when I cast a vote for governor in my own state.
Right,
you know, I'm thinking about those things.
Yeah,
the
and
judges, the courts have so much power.
And Marilyn Musgrave.
Mind-boggling.
Right, and of course it should be foremost because it's kids, it's children, innocent children who are being killed. And so when we have our federal judiciary, think of when you were elected and pro-life Republican Christians, pro-life Republicans, conservatives have over the last 30 years literally won over 10,000 elections. There were times when we had the White House, the Senate, the House, most of the governorships, so many of the state legislatures. And what we did, like the battle for Terri Schiavo to protect her, when that went to the 11th Circuit, we were excited. Our church, Denver Bible Church, sent people down to Florida to just at least symbolically try to save Terry's life. So did Colorado Right to Life and many other Christian groups. When her case went to the 11th Circuit, we were excited because they had six justices on the 11th Circuit that were nominated by Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George W. Bush. Six of them, including William Pryor, who focused on the family and so many pro-lifers lobbied for. All six, Marilyn, all six of our judges voted against Terri Schiavo, all six of 30 years of effort to get pro-life Republican presidents so that we would have judges who would reflect a culture of life, and they couldn't even find it in their heart to give her a hearing. They couldn't even do that. Then it went to the Supreme Court, and seven of the nine Supreme Court justices are Republican, nominated by Republican presidents, and they refused to protect Terri Schiavo. So if we have the Supreme Court, we have the 11th Circuit, court after court, we have 60% of the federal judiciary, and it's overwhelmingly pro-abortion. So what I'm wondering about is, does Susan B. Anthony, does that group have a plan to do something different than we've done if we get another 10,000 Republicans to win local and state and federal elections?
What Susan B. Anthony did, and this is when I was a member of Congress, the pro-life caucus sat down with the majority leader in the House of Representatives, and we passed legislation in the House of Representatives to give Terri Schiavo her due process. That was because Susan B. Anthony had worked to elect people to Congress who got it. And we got it. And let me tell you how much attention that legislation did when it passed the House of Representatives. In my next election, at my debate in Windsor, Colorado, her so-called husband showed up at the debate to intimidate me.
Wow.
I mean...
Yeah, and that legislation actually had Terri Schiavo's name in the legislation.
Yes, it did.
To give
and
her...
people around the country did not even understand what it did.
Yeah, and thank you, Marilyn. We're almost out of time, but thank you for fighting for her. And also, we were glad at Colorado Right to Life, we were glad that that legislation passed and not the Incapacitated Persons Legal Protection Act, which was very misguided, and it was federal legislation that recognized state pro-euthanasia suicide laws. So we were glad that that other pro-life bill sponsored by National Right to Life failed and that the bill that you supported won. But let me ask you this, Marilyn. The video tonight, I don't know if you heard the promo I did at the top of the show.
I did. I can't wait to see it.
It's going to be great on Bill O'Reilly, former Colorado Republican Party Chairman Steve Curtis.
I know Steve very well.
Yeah, Steve is a dear guy. In fact, he's got a book coming out about the shooting that launched him into politics, 20 years ago almost.
What a story.
Yeah, but he and Brian Rohrbaugh, Columbine dad, who's now the president of American Right to Life, they produced a video that's on YouTube, and it's got 30,000 views. And it documents Mitt Romney's record, how Romney converted to pro-life in 2004, and then in 2006, he authorized tax-funded elective abortions. That's aggressive. There are millions of pro-choicers who are against using tax money to pay for abortions. But Romney, and I did much of this research with American Right to Life, Romney, he line-item vetoed that Romney Care, their Massachusetts health care plan, eight times. But what he left in it was Planned Parenthood having a seat on the state health board, and he left in it tax-funded elective abortions. And so Ann Coulter, she's the focus of this video, she endorsed Mitt Romney for president, and she said Governor Romney, he governed as a pro-lifer. And then, Marilyn, I admire your leadership and standing up for the unborn, but I do remember that you strongly urged Senator McCain to select Governor Mitt Romney as his running mate. And I wonder, since Mitt Romney is, it's not arguable that he single-handedly authorized tax-funded elective abortions. Isn't this the kind of political maneuvering that got us where we're at after 30 years of victories? All of our leaders, all of our judges, they're all pro-choice.
Well, I think that when you have information like you just gave me, then if you're a pro-lifer, you're not going to support that person.
Wow. Thank you, Marilyn.
You are welcome. And let me say one thing. We all have our spiritual gift and the call on our life.
Yeah.
And I'm complimenting you and by calling you a brainiac, okay? you are a research guy. You're an in-depth guy. But don't take us into, what good does this all do? What good is our work done? Well, I got news for you.
Yeah.
This is the card we're dealt. This is the form of government we have.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And it is the best thing going in the world, and I can tell everyone out there in the audience that cares about life, get up, get involved, make people accountable.
Amen.
Hold them accountable. And not only that, you know, Dr. Dobson, and I love him so much, saying, you know, all these years, all our work has done nothing. I'm telling you that when I was in Congress, I worked with Joe Pitts, Brown back in the Senate. We did so many things that you don't even know about.
Right, that's true. We fought, and Marilyn, and we fought, you know, thousands fought with you. But to be pro-life means to believe that the unborn child has a right to life. That's what it means. And we have a hard time finding leaders who run for office or judges, even a single judge who believes the unborn child has a right to life. There's not one judge on the Supreme Court right now.
You are a pastor, Bob Binyart. We live in a fallen world.
We sure do.
That is why every one of us, in obedience to our Savior, has to work hard and
Amen.
Give it all we got, because
Amen,
working
Marilyn.
On behalf of that unborn child is worth it. It is worth the sacrifice. It changes us. It changes our country. It speaks volumes to our family.
Amen. So Marilyn Musgrave, the music's there. How do people reach you or your website? Marilyn, could you hear me?
Say again, please.
How do we get your website? How do people reach you? We're out of time. Real quick.
Call me at Susan B. Anthony List.
That's fabulous. Susan B. Anthony List. Thank you, Marilyn Musgrave, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great
school.
Too.